We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you say that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled A Lamp to My Feet, Light to My Path, a study through Psalm 119. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
Father, as we just get into this portion of our text, I'm thankful, Lord, to be here. I'm thankful, Lord, for your presence with us. And Father, I just pray that you would cause my mind to work properly. I pray, Father, for a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and to speak your word, to speak it clearly, concise, and Lord, to sit at your feet, Lord, and know that your presence is here amongst us. And just pray for that awareness of your Holy Spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so the portion of text that I get to do is here in verses 49 through 64. And in verses 49 through 56, I'm calling it the source of comfort, the source of comfort in this particular small section. There are 8 verses, as you know, and I have found that each one of those sections are actually broken up into 4 sections of themselves, 2 verses on each one that completes that thought. And the source of comfort, remember the word unto your servant, this is my comfort in the time of his affliction. God's teaching has been his stay and the songs in the house of his pilgrimage. So that's the encapsulation of that particular section. God's word is indeed a comfort to me. I love my Bible. It was a little while back that I lost my Bible, and I could not find it anywhere. I knew that it must be here somewhere, and as I searched everywhere for it, just longing for my Bible. This is the word of God to me. And when I found my Bible, it actually was in my office amongst all of my junk. But I held it to my chest and I began crying because I was so excited that I could find the word of God. Do you know that in Asia right now, there are people that are going crying over being able to have something that they can hold in their hands, just like that. They have found the word of God. And I know I'm going to be saying about Asia all the time, and I hope that we all continue to pray for all of our missionaries in that same way. But in my Bible, I have a date written at verse 49, and it is because, just previous to reading this, that God had given me a specific word that was found in Jeremiah. Now, I'm not going to tell you what that specific word was because it was specifically for me. But then as I got to this verse, I read it, I took that word, and I put a date by it as well as to when he spoke it to me. And then I come on this verse, 49 and 50, and it says, the word spoken to God by the author, remember the word to your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. Remember the word that you've given me, Lord, that has caused me to hope. So I have another date put on this one. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. God, I'm just reminding you in way of reminding myself that you, this word has caused me, on that word that you gave me, that word that has caused me to hope when it appears that there is no hope. Has the Lord given you a verse that causes you to hope when there is no hope, when all of your circumstances look the other way? In fact, the word you gave me is that what comforts me when things are looking dark. In fact, your word has given me life. It has given me new life. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is the word that I have been given. That's the word that you've been given. We've been given Jesus Christ. He became flesh, and because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and went to the cross for our sins, we have that hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. That's what we have right here in the Word of God, who became flesh. Remember your word to me, you know, Lord, the one that caused me to hope. Because when I'm afflicted, when my circumstances, when my feelings challenge me, challenge that hope, your word that gives me hope, that's what's my comfort. That's the thing that comforts me. Your word to me that gives me hope. Your word to me and for me has given me not only hope, but it gives me life itself. You've seen people who have lost hope. You see their lack of life on their face. They have no hope. And God has given us that hope. And so we go on to verse 51. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. The proud have me in great derision. They laugh at me. They make fun of me. But it doesn't change anything about my relationship with you, Lord. It doesn't change anything about you or my relationship with you and your law. It changes nothing. What people say to me, how people look at me, what people think of me because I love the Lord has nothing to do with my relationship with Jesus Christ. I have that relationship that is not changing. It's not going to change because God never changes. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And so I simply remembered your judgments from way back. And by remembering that, that comforts me that you have not changed, God. You're not changing at all. The proud want to bring me down, wanting to turn my back on you, Lord, but nothing they do or say can change the hope that you've given me. I will not let go of your word. I will not let go of your law. I will not let go of your statutes. I'm going to keep them. It is a determination that I have settled in my own heart. I settled it in my own heart. I will not let you go. And I know, God, you are never going to let me go. He is never going to let us go. And I don't know why I'm starting to cry. But if there's someone in here right now and you're feeling like God's kind of let me go, He hasn't let you go. He's right there with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. I've remembered your judgments in the past, and that brings me comfort too. I comfort myself with this knowledge. I bring my thoughts captive. I bring my thoughts captive to the hope that you've given me. I practice a gift of the Spirit, which is self-control. Oh, wait a minute. You're going to get on to that now? Oh, self-control in following the Lord. Yes. We need the gifts of the Spirit to follow the Lord. We need what He has for us. We need to center in on what He has for us. And we need to determine in our own hearts. I was recently listening to someone, and they said, I cannot control my anger. I cannot control my anger. Yes, we can. By the power of the Holy Spirit. By my own power, I don't have determination, I don't have strength, I don't have anything. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, yes, everything can be controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when I am tempted, it wasn't me who said that about the anger, by the way, but when I'm tempted towards something, I just say, God, I know that I can do this. I know that I can stand against this, and I don't have to give in to it. I don't allow myself to settle in with the what ifs. Anybody settle in on the what ifs? Does anybody else kind of oftentimes, well, what if this happens and what if that happens? And my question is, what if it doesn't? What if it doesn't happen? That's the question we should be asking ourselves. So I could get into the election, but I won't because it's not a good place. Okay. Verse 53, indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law, the wicked ones who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I love this particular verse. In the house of my pilgrimage. In the house of my pilgrimage. We'll get to that in just a minute. I get angry. I get brokenhearted. When I see those who have forsaken your law, is what the author is saying. I get angry, I get heartbroken when I see those who are forsaking your law. There are a number of people that I have personally know from the days, the tent days, back in the day when everybody was following Jesus and everybody was excited about what Jesus was doing. And a number of those are not walking with the Lord right now. And it breaks my heart. And if it breaks my heart, what does it do to the heart of God? So how am I praying for those people? I have to remind myself to pray for those people because God wants to draw them back. He wants to draw us back to that place of intimate relationship with Him at all times. I sing your words. I memorize your words in this mortal body, in this body that's having so much trouble memorizing things. But I do sing. What is your verse this week, by the way? So many of you have it. And I love that. I love that. That's so cool. But memorizing this verse, I sing your words. I memorize your words in this mortal body, this house, this tent, that is wasting away. And I'll tell you, every day this house is wasting away. And I am more aware of no matter what I eat or how much I walk or any of those things or how many vitamins I take, I'm very aware that this body was not made to last forever. Did you hear that they determined that the longest a person can live is 115, right? 115 years. I don't even want to live 115 years. But anyway, they've determined that that's the shelf life of this body. It's 115 years. So it's wasting away. But this world is not my home. We are just passing through. We are just passing through. Home is where the heart is. That's what I've heard. Home is where your stuff is. That's what I've heard. But home is where Jesus is. Amen. That's my heart. Home is where Jesus is. That's where I want to be. In the house of my pilgrimage. Now, that's so interesting. The house of my pilgrimage, because it gives that indication, you know, a pilgrimage is moving on to something better, moving on to a holy place, making that journey. And so the house of my pilgrimage means that this house does not belong to me. This house does not belong to me. I only have it for a little bit of time. And then I'm passing on through. A pilgrim is one who travels to a holy place, who travels, one who is always moving forward toward our heavenly home. We're always moving forward toward our heavenly home. We are moving forward. We keep going forward. We don't turn around and go back. We keep moving forward. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Absolutely no turning back. Verses 55, I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I have kept your precepts. This has become mine because I have kept your precepts. I remember your name, your word, in the dark times, in the darkness of the night, in the dark times of my life. We all have had or are having a dark time in our life. There will be a time, if you haven't had one, congratulations, you're in line. Because there will be dark times when you are tempted, you can't see the light. You can't see a light at all. And then somebody says there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train. It's not something that's going to mow you down. There is that light. But there are times in our life where we can't see it. we just are in that dark place. We can't seem to get past it. But it's those times that I'm going to remember his word. I'm going to keep his law even in those times. And because I have sung and memorized your word, Lord, it causes me to keep them in my actions. It causes me to keep your word in my actions. Do my actions look as the same as the words that I'm saying? Do my actions look the same as God's law, as his statute? Do I really live that out? Our actions always show what we really believe, what we're really like. Our actions show what we really believe and what we are really like. You've heard the phrase, your actions are speaking so loudly I can't hear what you're saying. That's the truth. Your law is mine, I say to God. I treasure it. I love your law. Therefore, I keep your law. Because I love it, I treasure it. So I keep it. You got a little locket, and it has something precious inside of it. You treasure it. What do you do with it? You keep it. You hang on to it. You don't let it go. That's what the law of the Lord is like. We treasure it. We hang on to it. We don't let it go, and we walk in it. Now, as we move on to verses 57 to 64, we're going to call those the resolution of faithfulness. The resolution of faithfulness. I have said that I would keep your words. Thinking on his ways brought him to the point where he could turn his feet unto God's testimonies. His gratitude is evident in his promise to arise at midnight to give thanks. So in verse 57, you are my portion, O Lord. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. You are my portion, O Lord. I get to have you, Lord. I get to have God. And when it talks about this portion in Jeremiah 10, verses 14 through 16, you can read it at another time. It speaks of what my portion is. My portion is the maker of all things. That's my portion. The Levites didn't get land. They got a portion of the Lord. That was their portion. They got the Lord. I'm excited about that. I'm excited that he is my portion. I entreated, I begged for, I cried out for your favor with all of me, with all of my heart. Your word says that you are merciful, Lord. I beg, I cry out, I entreat for your favor, for your mercy. Have you ever cried out, begged God for mercy? I have had times in my life, Lord, please be merciful to me, a sinner. Please, that's what the guy said on the cross. Please be merciful to me. And that's what I cry out as well. Be merciful, because that is what your word says that you're full of. You are full of mercy. Numbers 14, 18. The Lord is long-suffering, patient, and abundant in mercy. He is abundant in mercy. In 1 Chronicles 16, 34, and Psalm 106:1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. And I don't know if it's another scripture or if it's just another translation. Your mercy endures unto all generations. Unto all generations. Your mercy is everlasting. It will always be there. Be merciful to me, O Lord, according to your word that I trust. Because the Lord is my portion, because I keep his words, because he is merciful, just like he said he would be, because I sought him with my whole heart, I thought about my ways, verse 59. I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste, and I did not delay to keep your commandments. because I sought your mercy, because I sought you, Lord, with all of my heart to fulfill your word that you would be merciful to me, it caused me to look at how I was living, and I noticed I was going in the wrong direction in some places, and I turned around. It's just like, a little bit like, the prodigal son in Luke 15, 17. When he came to himself, he said to himself, many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, I'm not worthy to be called your son, but make me as a servant. Just let me be with you. And that's what it's like in this portion of our text. The man, the boy, repented, turned around. You know the story. If you don't know the story, the prodigal son who left with all of his inheritance and he wasted it. And there he was, living a life of nothingness. But he repented, which meant he came and he turned around and he went back to the place that he should be. He turned around and he went the other way. He repented. He turned his feet to the law of his father, and that law appears to be mercy. For here we see that just like Jesus, the father accepted the son that had repented, and the father celebrated that repentance. Celebrated that repentance. There, the angels rejoice when one lost sinner repents every single time. There is rejoicing in heaven every time a person repents and gives their lives to Jesus Christ. The angels rejoice. And verse 60 says that he didn't procrastinate. As soon as he was aware of what to do, he did it. Instant confession, instant forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 95:7. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Today, right now, pay attention to that still, small voice. We have so many distractions in our life. So many distractions. We don't allow ourselves to listen to the Lord. We want to hear from the Lord, but we set it up so that we can't hear him. I was looking at a video as I was preparing for this, and it had a woman who was, she had just talked to her husband about, I'm waiting to hear from the Lord about this particular thing. And then she got up out of bed, and she made the coffee and got the kids off to school and got in her car, turned on the radio, turned on some music. She walked over to there, went to the grocery store. At the grocery store, they had music playing, and there were a lot of people talking. And then she went over and had some coffee with some people, and they were all talking together. And then throughout the day, and she picks up the kids, and then they have the music going at home, and a CD, or maybe there's a DVD playing, or maybe we watched a little TV. And then at the end of the day, her husband says, did you hear anything from the Lord? No, nothing today. When did we give time to hear it? We are afraid of silence. And I'm not quite sure why. But we are afraid of silence. Even in a group of praying, you know, when you're in a circle and you're praying, when it gets quiet, what do you do? Is everybody else like me going, is it my turn? Let's see, it went around the tip, no, not my turn. Well, should I just say something or... You have that quiet time where we could hear from the Lord, but we want to fill it because we live in a time that can't stand silence. We got our phone, and we got to know the news right now because that news is breaking news. Everybody needs to know it right now. Will it still have gone on if I find out about it later? Yes. Am I uninformed? Yes. But isn't that okay on some issues to be a little bit uninformed? I do not need to know all of this stuff. Because right after I hear it, a couple of things happen. Right after I hear a tragic story of, yeah, the one that I heard last night, a man who killed his mom. But every time I hear that, something like that, my heart hardens a little. I don't mean for it to happen, and my response is, oh, how could he do that? How could he do these things? And yet, the next time I hear it, I might have that same response, but it's not quite as, you know what I'm saying? Just not quite as surprising, maybe? The conscience gets seared. And so why do I need all of this information? So anyway, I don't know how I got off on that. That constant noise that doesn't let God speak to me. I need, listen how quiet it is. It's not an air conditioning going on. Ten seconds of silence. And I see, as you guys were, the more the seconds went. What's she going to do now? But that constant noise. You'll remember in 1 Kings 19, 14, earlier on, and it starts with verse 11 of chapter 19 of 1 Kings. After God asked Elijah, what was he doing in that particular cave? We see Elijah lamenting how everyone has forsaken God's covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left. Oh, it's just me. So I'm hiding in the cave because I'm afraid. You just did all this great work, God, but I'm afraid. And there he was in the cave. And what happens? God said to him in verse 11 of 1 Kings chapter 19, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountain, broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And now he hears it. Verse 13, so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle, in his clothes, and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Years ago, the Lord spoke those same words to me when I felt like I just can't do this Christian thing. I really can't do it. I am not good enough. I'm not strong enough. And doggone it, people don't like me. You know, that's how I felt at the time. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, what are you doing here, Joy? What are you doing here? I don't know. But it was that still small voice that I responded to. As quickly as possible, I didn't put it off. And that's the rest of our verse here. I didn't put it off. I turned around and I got back to where I once belonged. The Beatles had it right. Get back, get back, get back. Get back to the where you once belonged. Get back. Turn around, repent, instant confession, instant forgiveness. I turn my feet to God's testimonies. I knew them to be true. Have I ever felt that way again? Absolutely. I have felt that way again. But what do I do with it? I get back. I get back to where I once belonged. I repent. I realize that God is a man of his word, and I repent and I turn around. When you hear that still small voice of God, respond in repentance. Don't harden your heart. Turn your feet toward God's testimonies. Verse 61, the cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. It doesn't matter what my circumstances are. I'm not going to forget your word because I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. In the middle of the night, now jet lag is a good time to remember this. The very fact that I can lay awake at night, that I can lay there and complain about the fact that I'm not sleeping, means that I have a lot to be thankful for. It means that I have life and that I have a lot to be thankful for. You remember Acts 16, 25 through 32. At midnight, Paul and Silas are in the jail. And they're praying and they're singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them, and the prison doors opened and their chains were broken. There is something about praising that will break the chains. But you know what happened in that story? You all know what happened in that story. You're familiar with that story, no doubt. They remained in the jail overnight. They weren't released right on time. See, it didn't change their circumstances. They chose to remain and let the guard know, you're okay, don't take your life, because the prisoners will stay. Are you willing to do that for someone else? Are you willing? Am I willing to remain in a place that's uncomfortable so that somebody else can come to Christ? It all led to them sharing the word of the Lord to the guard and all who were in his house. Praising and being thankful may not change my circumstances. Paul and Silas remained in the jail for the night, but it will change the way I respond to my circumstances. Praising will change the way that I respond to my circumstances. And because of how we respond, other lives are changed, as I shared with you about the family in Greenleaf and Drought. Did I share with you guys about the guy in Tibet? No? Oh, good. I know I shared it with somebody this morning, and now I can't remember. But at the conference, I met a guy, a missionary to Tibet, and he was talking about this family in Greenleaf and Drought. This family that was there in 1950 who couldn't talk to anybody, couldn't express anything about the Lord. They just had to live their life. And these people in Tibet, this man said, there are three religions. There is Muslim, there is Buddhist, and there is compassion. Compassion was because of that family, that they heard about Christ because of their compassion. They heard that Christ was compassionate and loving. That is still going on today because people were willing to be uncomfortable for someone else. It changes other people's lives. That's how they lived, and their lives changed other lives. And so the verse 63, I'm a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The Lord, the earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. I am to be friends with others that have that kind of relationship with God, the ones who also keep God's word, God's law, God's commandments. I am to be friends with all who keep his word, whether they do everything I like or not. We are spoiled. In America, we are spoiled. We think because that other person says, yeah, they love the Lord, but they do this or that or the other thing, I don't really like them. I don't want to spend time with them. But the word of God says, I am a companion to all who fear you. I'm a friend to them. It's called grace. The kind of grace I want to receive, and so I must give. That means that I am to defend and encourage others that are Christ followers. I am to defend and encourage others who are Christ followers. That means that I don't have even one-on-one conversations about another's shortcomings, even when I think no one else can hear me, even when it's in my heart because God knows. Now, if you're a follower of me on Instagram, you would have seen an apology with the scripture, Proverbs 29:11. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Recently, I put it on Instagram because I didn't know who else might have heard a discouraging remark that I made while speaking, what I thought was in private, and found out that someone else had heard. God convicted me, and so I put it on Instagram in hopes that I would touch whoever had heard that discouraging word. God convicted me, reminded me of this scripture, and I know that I'm forgiven, and I pray that the other people can forgive me as well. I didn't put it on Instagram to look like I was a humble person. I didn't put it there to look like I was something more than I am. I put it there for the purpose of the people who maybe I didn't know had heard, could have that apology and know that the Lord has dealt with me. And I am to be friends and encourage other believers. And I don't get to talk badly about anybody, because I don't want to play the fool again. A fool vents, that was Proverbs 29:11. It is highlighted in my Bible. I haven't dated it because there'd probably be too many dates on it. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Old King James says, a fool speaks his whole heart, but a wise person keeps it until after. I want to be a wise person. I don't want to be a fool. And as we have seen in this particular election, be sure that your sins will find you out. They will. 11 years later, 20 years later, maybe after you're gone, someone finds something out. Deal with your sin. Just deal with your sin and trust the Lord. Oh, my dear friends, the writer reminds the Lord in our last verse, the earth is full of your mercy, Lord. And because of that, will you, Lord, keep on teaching me? Teach me, Lord. Teach me to be merciful. Teach me to be gracious. Teach me to be compassionate. Teach me to be loving. Never let me stop learning. If we stop learning, we stop growing. And we need to grow in that grace. We need to grow in that mercy. And so, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for your love for us. Lord, that you are full of compassion, that you are full of love, that you are full of mercy that endures into all generations. I thank you, Lord, that you have been faithful. And Lord, I pray that your word was completely spoken and that there was not one thing of just me. And if there was, Lord, would you erase it from any ears, any minds, Lord? Cause us to walk in your way, Lord, to keep your precepts, to keep your law, to keep your statutes with our whole heart. With our whole heart, we seek after you, Lord. We want to bless you. We want to bring glory to your name, and we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up.
been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.